Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today I'm coming to you from the friendly confines of our Studio B. This is the smaller of the two rooms, and I'm here today. And I'm also doing the show solo. I was just looking back at the episodes. This is the first time this calendar year that I've done an episode by myself. Can you believe it? I guess I got to do some episodes by myself every now and then to keep up my credibility so that you don't think that, you know, I don't know anything and I just have to rely on guests. I love having guests on, but today and our next episode is my turn to shine, if you will. Well, with that said, what I want to talk about today and next time is building Metro-style apps for Windows 8. Hopefully you know that the Windows 8 Consumer Preview is out and available for download, as well as Visual Studio 11 Beta. And I want to take a couple episodes to look at how you use Visual Studio to build Metro-style apps for Windows 8. And we'll focus on XAML in this episode, and then HTML in the next episode. Now, a couple caveats. One, this is not an end-to-end primer on Metro and Metro-style applications. We're not going to cover in a lot of detail the WinRT and the platform. We're really going to focus on the tooling. So think of this as, how do you get started building Metro-style apps with Visual Studio? So from File, New Project, what happens and how does Visual Studio help, basically? I'll point out some good resources at the end of this for places you can go to learn more about Metro-style apps and building them. But we're just going to do some quick demos of using Visual Studio. And with that, so here's Windows 8. I have the consumer preview up. And let's start by using Visual Studio. I will sometimes use the mouse, and I will sometimes use my fingers. So if you see something happening without a mouse moving, that's because I'm using the finger. So of course, Windows 8 is touch-enabled. A machine here, a Lenovo X220, is touch-enabled. So let's launch Visual Studio. OK, so the first thing I want to do is build a project. If I go to New Project, and I'm going to start out in C Sharp and then switch over to VB later. Because I'm running on Windows 8, I have Windows Metro Style templates. Now, if I was running on Windows 7, these wouldn't appear. You need Windows 8 to build a Windows Metro Style application. And because I'm using Visual Studio Ultimate, I have not only the Metro templates, but I have Windows, Web, SharePoint, Silverlight, Workflow, all the usual things. If I was using Visual Studio Express for Windows 8, all I would have would be the Metro style templates. Okay. So you can see that there are three different types of templates, a blank application, a grid, and a split. Let's look at them one at a time. The blank application is a single page project for a Metro style app that has no predefined controls or layout. In other words, it's blank, hence the name. So we will call this blank application, and we'll click OK and see what we get. So we get a page, which is the blank page.xaml. And if we look at that, you can see indeed that there is nothing on it. It's blank. I also get some assets. I have some icons, and we'll see a little bit later on how those are used. And then in common, I have a number of files. I have this standard styles.xaml, and these are a bunch of Visual Studio supplied styles, things like basic rich text style, and basic text style, and text button style, radio buttons, app bar button style, there's a back button style down here. So a bunch of styles that you can use to build Metro-style applications. One of the design guidelines of Metro-style apps is that an app should look like a Metro-style app. And so Visual Studio here is being very nice and helpful to me in providing me some styles that I can use in an application. I don't have to completely start from scratch and style this app. That's nice. In the app.xaml, if we look in the code behind that, when the application launches, we go to blank page. Create a new frame, frame.navigate to type of blank page, and that's why the blank page comes up first. Okay, so what do we want on this page? Ordinarily, I'd do Hello World, but these are Metro-style apps, and displaying text is not, you know, that's not kind of modern, so we're going to do something a little bit more interesting. But I'll create a button, and I'll give it a name of button 1, and the content's going to be find a picture, and I want the horizontal alignment to be center, and when I click on it, I want something to happen. And then what I also need on here is an image, and I'll just call that image 1. And if I typed correctly, things would go a lot better. Okay. So the first thing you'll notice is this XAML looks the same as all XAML you've ever written, assuming you've ever written XAML. And that's good. And that was on purpose. And that's one of the first things to understand about building a Metro-style app using XAML is that XAML is XAML. And of course, there are new controls. And of course, there'll be some controls that you might have used in other XAML places that aren't here, but it's XAML. And then the second thing that you should understand is that the code behind is code, C# or VB, and you can also use C++ to build a Metro-style app. So what I wanted to do in this application is when I click the button, I want to go grab a picture off the hard disk. So I have a snippet that helps me do that. Okay, so I'm going to pop up a message dialog, and that's in the windows.ui.popups namespace. I've left all the namespaces in here instead of doing imports so that you would just get a sense of how these work. Because remember, this is a Metro-style app, and we're calling the WinRT. But one of the great things about the Windows Runtime, or WinRT, is that it is exposed to VB and C#, just like .NET classes. So there is a message dialog class in the windows.ui.popups namespace, and then you just use it. So very, very familiar programming here. So I'm going to pop up a dialog. Do you want to find a picture? Yes or no? If the user says yes, then I'm going to open the file open picker. The file picker gives me the ability to go out and find things on the hard drive. I'm going to display JPEGs from the pictures library, which is my pictures, as thumbnails. And then I'm going to pick a file, and the user selects one. Then what I'm going to do is take that file, read it as a stream, turn it into a bitmap, and set the source of the image to that bitmap. So in other words, go out on the disk, go to my pictures, let the user select a picture, display it on the XAML page. And I'm going to do this all asynchronously. And in order to do something asynchronously, you await these asynchronous calls, and then you also have to declare the method as async. Okay, let's build this. Let's run this. And I'll use the mouse for now, then I'll switch over and use my finger. Find a picture. Do I want to find a picture? Yes, I do. Go out to my hard drive. Go and grab a picture, this one of me and my wife cross-country skiing last weekend on a fairly sunny day, although you kind of see clouds in the background. But there we go. That is a Metro-style app built with XAML. It is completely familiar to you if you've done XAML before, whether it's WPF or Silverlight or Phone. You've used XAML and you've written code, and this looks very familiar. Okay, so I've run this from inside Visual Studio. Let's go see what else happened. If I go to my start page, scroll all the way over to the right, here is this blank application that we just created. And I can run it from here by tapping it with my finger, find a picture. Do I want to find a picture? Yes. Let's grab this picture, open it, and the application continues to work, either touch-enabled or mouse-enabled. Now, if I want to close this, I have two choices. I can use my finger and drag from the top all the way down. Now the application's closed. If I'm using the mouse, then I click on this. And notice when I move the cursor up to the top, it changes to a hand. I can click and hold and drag this down, and that closes the application. I can move this around on the start page. I can unpin it from start or uninstall it with my finger. I just swipe up, and that selects it, and then the app bar appears, and I can uninstall it. And while we're in here, let's get rid of this one as well, because we're going to recreate that later on. Okay, so that's a blank application. Let's build another one. Let's take a look at the grid application. And you can see over to the right of the new project dialog, I get a description of what a grid application is going to be. It is a multi-page project that navigates among groups of items. And then I have pages to display groups and item details. So this page here is going to be my main page that shows groups. Within groups are items. If I select a group, then this is the group details page. I see the group here on the left, and then each item over here. And then if I select an item, it's going to look like this. Okay, so let's take a look at that. This is a grid application. I get pretty much the same assets. I get a few additional assets. The reason I have more assets is because the groups are represented by pictures in this application. Dark gray, light gray, medium gray. These represent groups. But I still have the logos, etc. Common files, still the same. The styles, some converters. And then I also here have, in the data model folder, the sample data source file, which is going to create sample data for me. And then I have the three pages, group detail, grouped items, and item detail. When I start the application, I'm going to create the sample data and then navigate to the grouped items page, passing in the groups to that grouped items page. So let's take a look at that. Open this up. And notice that first thing that happens is the XAML designer doesn't show me the page because there are custom elements that have not been built. So for example, common, layout aware, etc. All I need to do is build it and then this shows up. Okay, so here is the new XAML designer, which is very powerful. We're going to have an episode devoted entirely to this. I'm going to get somebody from the product team to come and show us the designer. So I'm going to stick mostly to XAML for today. So the first thing that happens, this is the main page that shows up. I have groups. Let's take a look a little bit around. We've got a collection view source. We're going to bind to the item groups. And then we're going to display the groups inside a grid view. We also have a scroll viewer around that. This scroll viewer is out here. And that's going to give me the ability to scroll backwards and forwards, left to right, to see additional groups. So my main container is this grid scroll viewer. And inside that is a grid view, which is going to display groups. And then when I click on an item, I'm going to go do something. Okay. So here's the template that displays the actual items inside a group. And then I also have another scroll viewer, which is the item list scroll viewer. And inside that, I have a list view. So on this page, I have two ways of displaying data, the grid view and the list view. And it turns out that I'm going to use the grid view normally, but the list view is going to be used when the page is snapped. So when this is snapped, the item list view scroller becomes visible and the grid scroller becomes invisible. And I'll show you when I run this why that happens. Okay, so we also have a group detail page. And this is going to display the details for a group. What's in here? Again, it's bound to the actual items. And we have a grid scroll viewer. So we're going to, by default, display things in a grid with the category on the left and the items in a grid view. And then we also have a snapped scroll viewer. So we're going to display things in a list view when this is snapped. And again, that's handled by the Visual State Manager. And now if I select an item, then we're going to go to an item detail page and pass in that item. Here's the item detail page, which displays the item on the left and information about it on the right. So here we are bound to a particular item in a group, and we're going to use a flip view. This is a new control in Metro, and the flip view gives me the ability to basically flip the page and scroll from item to item. Okay. Let's run this now, and then we'll come back and take a look at the data. So if I run this, here's the items group page. This is the group detail page, which shows me the details. This would be the grouped items page. Sorry, this is the grouped items page, the main page. Here's each group, and I can scroll back and forth thanks to the scroll viewer. And then if I select an item, I go to that item. I can go back. If I select on a group title, then I go to the group detail page, which shows me the items for that group. And again, if I go to an item, I can see that. If I hover over this, this is the flip viewer, so it gives me the ability by clicking with the mouse to move from item to item, or I can scroll using my fingers from item to item. Okay. So let's take a look at the data. This sample data source file contains four classes. There's sample data common, which is a base class for sample data. Each item has an ID, a title, a subtitle, a description, and an image. And then sample data item inherits that and adds a content and a group. And then each group is an observable collection of sample data items, and that makes it easy to bind to. And then when we create a new sample data source, we fill out the information by hand. And that's where the information comes from on this. Okay, now what else can we do here? Well, of course, we can set breakpoints. So let's go into, where do we want to go? Let's go into grouped items, which is the main page. And let's set a breakpoint right here. And let's run this. Okay, and then when I select a group, so I can do all of the usual debugging. I can see what's in the group. It's got five items, and here's each item. And there's the content in the group, and then here's the actual data. Okay, so I can do that, and I can continue. So all the debugging that you'd expect. And then we talked about the difference between the full mode and the snapped mode. One of the things you can do in a Metro application is you can actually view pages four different ways. So the default here is just full screen landscape. But what I can also do is I can view multiple applications at the same time. So right now, this application is in what's called fill mode because it's basically filling up the remainder of the screen after I've snapped this application into view. So the application behaves pretty much the way it's done before. It's just taking up a little bit less screen real estate. But watch what happens if I snap this. The layout changes. It changes from a grid view to a list view. And now I can scroll up and down. There's no scrolling side to side in the snapped view. I'm going to scroll up and down. So each of these pages is going to display the items in a list view when the application is snapped. And it will then immediately go back to the default when I unsnap it and make it take up the full screen. And again, that occurs because of these visual state managers and the fact that I have multiple controls in here. So there's filled, full screen portrait, which is filled is full screen landscape, actually. Full screen portrait would be full screen when I've turned the thing on its side. Then there's snapped, and I don't have anything in here for filled. Full screen landscape, excuse me, and filled. The app just behaves as it does, but I also have the ability to handle full screen portrait and snapped. Now, what does portrait look like? I don't actually have the ability on this machine right now to show you portrait, so I'm going to go run the simulator. This is the other way I can run this application. the simulator is essentially my computer. Notice that it says Robert Greene there. And I'm now seeing what it would look like to be running this computer on something that I could turn sideways and whatnot. So let's rotate this 90 degrees. And now notice that the built-in controls, without me necessarily having to do much, are automatically going to adjust. We have adaptive controls built into the product, and where necessary, they will adjust to show, to change their display based on whether I'm portrait or landscape. Okay? So let's turn this sort of the right side up. Okay, what I can also do with the simulator is look at various resolutions. So right now, 1366 by 768. Let's go back to the front page. What would it look like on a bigger screen, 1920 by 1080? Notice again that the application adjusts. These adaptive controls are smart enough to change the way they look based on the resolution. So I can play around with this. What I can also do is I can simulate touch emulation. I can also capture a screenshot. So take a picture of this. What's this application going to look like in that bigger mode? Here it is. And then I can quit running this. And the simulator stays up and running. And when I'm done with it, I can exit out of it. Okay, that's a grid application. Let's take another look at the split application, or let's take a look at the third template, which is the split application. This is a two-page project that navigates among grouped items. I still have groups and items. The first page shows me groups, and the second page shows me all the items in a group. Okay, let's see what that looks like. This is the split application. You're going to see very similar things in here. The assets are the same. The common files are the same. The data model exactly the same. The difference is that we have a split page and an items page. The items page shows me all of the items. And I'm going to presumably need to build this. Yep. OK, so here is my main page showing me each of the groups. And if I look in the XAML here, I see that I'm bound to the groups. And I'm showing things in a grid in normal mode and a list view when it's snapped. And then the split page, which is here, I basically have two controls, one on the left to show the items in the group, one on the right to show each of the to show a specific item. So I have an items list view on the left and an item detail grid, which is just a grid on the right. Okay, now let's run this. So here are my groups. And within a group, I have various items, and I can scroll through them. And then again, if I snap this, then we change to looking at list views. Okay. Hit the wrong button. All right. And then, of course, these things continue to be installed out here. And I'm just going to uninstall these to clean up my desktop. I'm sorry, to clean up my start page. It's not the desktop. Now we're in the desktop. Okay, so that is an overview of the three templates. And I thought it was important to do this because these are your choices. Obviously, sometimes you'll start with a blank application and write all your own XAML and do most of your own styling and lay things out the way you want. But you can also take advantage of the grid and the split application. And without having to do anything, you wind up with an application that looks like a Metro-style application. I think that's one of the nicest things about this. This application, I haven't touched it. I created a new application. There's not a lick of code in there. This now looks and behaves like a Metro-style application. But what if I want to use real data? Well, let's see. So I'm going to create another project, and I'm going to switch over to Visual Basic now. And I'm going to make this a split application, and I'm going to call it Proposals, which I forgot to delete. So let me just go in here. It's Visual Studio, so I can just come in here and delete this. Okay, let's try this again. Let's build proposals. And what I want to do is display proposals I have out with my clients. So rather than use the sample data, I want to use real data. So how am I going to talk to real data? Well, I actually have some existing code to do that. So I'm going to add two existing projects to this solution. I have a service proxy, and I have a service. And these exist already. I'll give a shout out here to my good friends Brian Randall and John Flanders, who wrote this demo for us. So they wrote this middle tier code. It's C-sharp code, but it doesn't matter. I'm calling it from this Visual Basic project. And the services project is going to talk to a SQL Server database called Fabricam Fiber Proposals. Now watch what happens if I double-click on this. Visual Studio opens up the Server Explorer, and I can look at this database. This is a Visual Studio 11 feature, by the way. This has got nothing to do with Windows 8. It's got nothing to do with the fact that I'm building a Metro app. If I was building a Windows Forms app on Windows 7, then this would also I would also get the Server Explorer. So I just want to make sure you understand this is just Visual Studio. But it's nice because I can explore the contents of the database. I can query the data. So here are my clients. Here are my proposals. I can look at the definition. So what's in the clients table? And I get two ways of looking at this. I not only get the grid, which is coming up soon, but I also get the SQL that creates this. Okay, that's nice. And then going back to the project, so this services, we have a database, we have an entity framework model, and it's being served up as a WCF service. And then the service proxy is calling that, and actually in this example, returning the data as JSON. But we're not going to spend too much time on that. That's a little bit neither here nor there. I just wanted to show that I'm bringing in existing code to talk to the real live data. So now in my VB Metro project, I'll add a reference to the service proxy. Okay, and now what I'm going to do is modify the sample data source code to call that real data. I don't have to lose the structure of the data. I'm actually going to keep it. So first thing I'm going to do is go into the constructor for sample data source, which right now is building this sample data by hand. I'm going to get rid of all of that code. Don't need any of this because we're going to use real live code. And then what I'm going to do is call a method. I have a snippet to add that, VB Metro async load. Okay, so the load is going to talk to the proxy, and I'm still using groups and data items. I'm still going to use sample data group and sample data item. This time groups are clients, and the items in each group are proposals, so proposals for a client. So I'm going to call the service and have the service go to the database, get the clients, and return them to me as an observable collection of clients. And then I'm going to add that to me.items group because, remember, my items page is bound to item groups. Right there. So I don't have to change any of the XAML, just how I get the data. Build this. Run it. Oh. And realize that I skipped a step. Because I didn't tell the actual application to call this load method. Okay, so what I need to do is go into the onLaunched, which I happen to know is in app.xaml.vb, but what I can do is come into the Solution Explorer and search for it. So now I'm going to change the onLaunched to call that load method. VB Metro onLaunched. Okay, so I create a new instance of sample data source, and then I'm going to call sampleData.load. I'm going to call that load method. What I'm going to do here is do it asynchronously. So this code uses the task parallel library and lambdas and loads the data asynchronously. The default template loads it synchronously, which when you're dealing with squares and text is not that big a deal. But because I'm going out and talking to the database and calling the proxy, which calls the service, it's a good idea to do this asynchronously. OK, so now if I run this, now that I've actually added the code that tells the application to go get data, now I've got my clients in here. And of course, if I select a client, I don't see anything yet because I haven't added that code to the application. Okay, so, and of course, if I come out to the start page, here's my proposals application, so I can run it this way as well. And then drag down to close it. Let's go back to Visual Studio and let's add the code to grab the actual items, which are the proposals. VB Metro load items is my snippet, which says for each client, grab the proposals and create a new sample data item. Items represent proposals. Okay, so now when I run this, here are my clients. And when I click on one of these, I can actually see proposals. Okay, very cool. We're getting somewhere now. Now, when I looked at the start page, you might have noticed I've got a bunch of apps installed on here. Got most of these out of the Windows Store. And a lot of them have pretty good looking icons, like Cut the Rope and this Slapdash Burp. You know, Flixer's got a cool icon. And my application, my groovy, fantastic application, looks like this. How excited are you going to get about that? Well, that's the default icon, which is, where is it? Here it is, logo. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do something a little bit better. Okay? I want two things. One, I want a nicer logo, and secondly, I want one of these nice wide logos. So to set the logo, I go into package.appxmanifest, and the manifest is sort of configuration information. What's the display name? If I want the application to start off in portrait mode or landscape flipped, for example, I can specify that. The default logo is this logo. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to specify a wide logo. And so let me go back to my application folder here, and I'm going to select this wide tile. And then what I'm also going to do is set this to standard logo only and make the short name proposals. Okay. Don't need to set anything else. Save this, and I actually don't have to run it. I can just redeploy this. So I just go to build and deploy solution. And now when I move out to the start page, come over here, notice that the app still is using the default logo, but if I select it, swipe up, I can change to the larger logo. And so now I have a good looking logo. And what I would do before sending this to the store is I'd create a good looking small logo. So for example, Cut the Rope has a good looking small logo as well as a good looking large logo. So if I had any design skills at all, I would create my own short and wide logo for this. And that is what I wanted to show you. That is an overview of how you can use Visual Studio 11 to start building Metro-style apps using XAML. So we looked at XAML this time. Next episode, we'll look at HTML. Now, in the meantime, you say, well, that's great. Now I know how to use Visual Studio, but there's more to building Metro-style apps. There's a whole platform. There are things like contracts and, you know, lots of built-in classes and notifications and Toast and all that stuff. Where do I go learn about that? I think the best place to do that is the Windows Developer Center. So you go to msdnmicrosoft.com/Windows. This is the best place to learn about building Metro-style apps. So I highly recommend you come out here. I would start with the tutorials. So under Developing Apps, Getting Started and Tutorials, there's a good JavaScript tutorial, there's a good C# and Visual Basic tutorial. So if you're going to build XAML apps, I'd start here. There's also a C++ tutorial. So if you're a C# or VB guy or gal and you want to learn to build a Metro-style app, come here and run through this. It's actually quite long. There's a lot in here. It starts from File, New Project, and it goes all the way down, and you wind up building, where's the last? I want to show you a screenshot. There. You wind up building an application like this. It's a blog reader. You're going to learn a lot about building Metro-style applications, a lot about the XAML you use and the code you'll use. Then you can also look at the samples. There are samples here. There are 253 of them. Okay, and notice that 164 in HTML, 164 in XAML. They're pretty much all in both XAML and script. So that's excellent. So things like, how do you do a splash screen, file access? How would you use semantic zoom? How do you write to tiles? How do you do Toast and push notifications, et cetera, et cetera? So absolutely check those out. And then the other thing I wanted to show you are the dev camps. So if you go to devcamps.ms, we have just opened up Windows camps. And the Windows camps are public events where you can come and learn how to build Metro-style applications. So there are a bunch of them, both in the US and internationally. So for example, if we want to look in Washington, there's a couple in Redmond. Which one's what's going on in Massachusetts? I'll look at Waltham. All right, there's one in Waltham. Then shout out to my friends in Chicago. There's a couple there. So these are one-day events where you'll see an overview of Windows 8 and the Metro platform, and then you'll actually look at how to build applications. So that's devcamps.ms/Windows. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, go get the Windows 8 Consumer Preview and Visual Studio 11 Beta. Start playing around with it. Start learning how to build Metro-style apps. Absolutely hang out on the Dev Center, the Windows Developer Center. There's an amazing amount of great material there. And if you get an opportunity, come by the Windows camps. So today we looked at XAML. Next time we will do HTML and JavaScript. And let's go back to me. There we are. So hope you enjoyed this. Hope this was good information for you. And I'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.